I'm joined on the air this morning by Mr. Charles O'Brien, who very kindly offered or accepted our call. And Charles is involved with marketing with Fosse's Circus, which is a name which is known to everybody, I say, in Ireland at this stage. And Fosse's are celebrating their 125 years in existence. They've been in existence since 1888. Am I right, Charles?
80, and we feel every year that by 1888 we started out, and we haven't stopped since.
And you haven't stopped. You were telling me there just. No. And first of all, you're very welcome to the show this morning. I should have said
thank
that.
You for the invitation. Appreciate it.
I should have said that from the off. Charles, that 125 years. How did Fosse's start? Give us a brief bit of the history, if you could.
Fosse's version in about 25 years before that. Late 1850s, early 1860s, a young chap in Mallow, George Powell, decided that he liked entertaining his local friends for a whole load of reasons, because it was right in the middle of the famine. He was one of the people who had to leave and go to the States. He went to America. When he was in America, he got up with or got a job with Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show. Mm. During the Buffalo Bill's Wild West Show experience, the show came to London, as it did, I think, in 1875 to entertain Queen Victoria. At that stage, he'd ended up with A, a wife, and B, some friends. And when the show went back to the States, he came back to Ireland, and he set up the amazing Dr. Powell's Travelling Roadshow.
God, it sounds
in 1888.
It sounds like something out of, I suppose, a Beatles album or something. Go on. Yes.
Well, that's what it was. The amazing Dr. Powell, he became known as. He was a ventriloquist, a magician, and a circus owner.
Yeah.
And in 1888, now we know it goes further back to that, but in 1888, we have the first record in Baldwin Glass and County Wicklow of Dr. Powell owning a show with the tent, horses and employees, which we would say qualifies as a circus. We would recognise that as a circus. So in April 1888, he set out with his circus. And as that date, it now qualifies as the oldest continuously touring circus in the world today.
It's amazing, actually. It's one thing, I suppose, is you wouldn't really associate with Ireland. You'd associate circuses more so with Eastern Europe. And you were telling me again off air, an interesting fact, that a lot of our new immigrants into Ireland who are from Eastern Europe actually find the circus a great way to spend their time. Do you want to go on that?
No, absolutely. I'll come to that. I'll come to that in 30 seconds.
Okay.
Just continuing the point.
Sure.
No. Just continuing the point we made earlier. Just that you said about people not realizing where Ireland, how that could happen in Ireland.
Yeah.
The second circus building in the world was in Dublin. First ever in 1767 in London. The second circus building, we've only discovered this in the last 5 years, was in a street behind St Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin.
Really? Yeah.
Absolutely. It's been researched. The Georgian Society have details of it. We've been researching in the National Library. So Ireland's position in circus, people think it might have happened from Eastern Europe or came from America with the Three Ring or the Chinese state.
Yeah.
Before any of those existed, the second circus building in the world was in Dublin on the corner of Bride Street and Peter Street. It opened in 1773.
Didn't know.
Just as a bit of a side of it. Going back to the emigrant issue, so that all that
sorry, Charles, just stop you there. Someone said that the biggest circus is still in Dublin, it's in Kildare Street, but go on.
Yeah, the only thing is, I'll say, and we said this before, with a circus clown, you know what you're getting.
All right, go on.
We wear a red nose, we telegraph it before you vote for them.
A lot of the clowns in Leinster House wear red noses as well.
it's a big circular building as well, right in the middle of Kildare Street. Lovely circus site if ever they decide to move.
There goes our broadcasting grant. Anyway.
And our arts comes to grant next year. What we discovered, look, everyone knows that the immigration issue into Ireland over the last number of years has been fairly obvious. And throughout the country, it began obviously from the urban centres, but then, you know, throughout the country, every small town country began to develop its own Eastern European or indeed African immigrant population or presence. And what we noticed over the last 10 or 15 years was an increasing number of these, kind of an unfortunate term, the new Irish, because as a shorthand, it's handy, of the new Irish coming to the show. When we started to do, now it's an informal check, but we do it on our box office. When we started to do checks last year, we discovered that there was a growing trend. We were looking at maybe 20% in some areas were, foreign nationals, for want of another word. When we asked them, we saw, because they're literally Indian, Pakistani, Chinese, Eastern European, Polish, Russian, Moldovan, Romanian, and Central and West African. And we've asked them, you know, you've got service at home. Yes, we do. Why do you come? We never thought of this. The reason they were coming and coming in numbers, they come in families of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They discovered it was one of the only entertainment forms that they could bring a grandmother who had no English, a mother who maybe had, you know, partial English, a father who was out working learning some English, and the children at school
who had
would offer good English.
Yeah.
The imbalance within the family, if they came to cinema or they came to even pantomime or theatre or anything else, there would be an imbalance. They all couldn't enjoy it at the same level. Circus, which was purely visual and spectacle and like jaw-dropping, you know, gasping, they could all come to. And they're coming to it. And we've noticed it's increasing all the time. And they're coming with their Irish friends. Funnily enough, they're bringing some Irish back to circus because particularly the Eastern European immigrant population is saying, well, at home we go every week or at home we go every month. Why aren't you going all the time?
Yeah, yeah, I understand. So it's kind of an all-round family thing, and you know, the excitement as well. I mean, there is people talk about the smell of grease paint and the excitement and the noise and that. It is a fantastic experience, you know.
It's also something which is in a lot of people's memories is iconic. We have people coming to us who are 90, 92. Mm. They're bringing their great-grandchildren. And what we know what they're selling. I mean, Fawcett's around a long time, and we'd love to think, oh, they're coming to us because they heard we had a fabulous trapeze actor, we had a great Wheel of Death. They're coming from, they're passing on memories. Yeah. They can remember when they were brought by their grandfather to, see, the other thing is, if somebody comes to a show, a circus, to sit Fawcett's, they don't have to get into a car and drive to Cork or drive to Dublin to go into the Gaiety or go to the Opera House.
Yeah, of course, the circus comes to them as such.
An 800-seat theatre comes to Farmer Brennan's Field,
down the road,
100 yards up the road.
Yeah.
And it's come for the same week every year for the last 85 years. Mm. So the grandfather is giving the great-grandchild an experience pretty close to what he had. It's undiluted. Circus as a form, we've changed enormously, but the core of what we do, big tent in a field, people sitting around a ring and other people saying, look what I can do that you can't do, and pay me to see it. That hasn't changed in 150, 200, 300 years.
Now, Charles, I'm going to touch on something that I know that you're a bit reticent to talk about. And
money. We're never reticent to talk about money.
Fair enough. But as I said, as I said to you off air, I'll only touch on it. Some people would criticise circus and animals being used in circuses.
I have a temptation to say some people would and then stop talking. Because as I said to you earlier, when you enter into a debate like this, it's a passionate debate, and I don't necessarily think that radio no disrespect to the medium is the way to do it, but we've been asking for face-to-face debate on this years. There are people who are very, very passionate about what they do, the animal welfare lobby in general, some more passionate than others, who would look at many areas of modern life and would say that, you know, we believe, because of our position, that this shouldn't happen. Circus is one of them. We believe circus is an easy target. For instance, we would say, why aren't these people, you know, out at Leopardstown equally picketing or Epsom affairs every race meet? We would say that. Okay, that's totally the argument of somebody else. But like, it is obvious that the RDS show every year doesn't have an Aran presence. And yes, you know, they're jumping horses every 15, 20 minutes over fences. We believe circus is an easy target. Fair enough. On that basis, circus is a tradition going back 300 years. There would have been a proud heritage within both the circus families in Ireland, Fawcett's and Duffy's, of animal training.
Yeah.
We can't speak for anybody else. Fawcett's, as a family, and which is what we are, and a company, we decided 7 years ago to discontinue the touring of exotic animals.
Mm.
And that means elephants, large performing cats, tigers, lions.
Yeah.
We never had giraffes, but that level of animal. We didn't do it on a principled agreement with the animal rights lobby, although we would have animal welfare top of our list as well. They might not think so, but we do. Some of the sites we were forced to play during the boom period, because land was at a premium, were so bad, the conditions of these sites were so bad. We were having trouble existing on them for 3 or 4 days, and we felt we could not inflict that on animals. That was one decision.
Yeah.
There was also a commercial decision. It was becoming more and more expensive to tour animals.
Yeah.
So we made it on that basis, but we always, where we differ is, we will always say, we reserve the right to introduce them in future. We're certainly not saying we're not going to ever present them again. And we would say that circus, as a traditional art form, recognised by Ireland as an art form since 2003 under the Arts Bill, and recognised at European level since 2004 as a traditional art form, includes what makes us different from other art forms is it includes the presentation of animals.
Yeah.
As a heritage item. So we're not going to suddenly go and criticise our ancestors or criticise what came before. But we'll be looking at where we develop with a different set of eyes. Would we now, for instance, go and present 10 elephants in Ireland in a ring moving 3 times a week? No, we wouldn't, because you couldn't do that and humanely keep those elephants in a condition that we would want them kept.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of common ground with these people, but we have objections to the methods they use, and we have objections to the selection of targets, which we believe is purely for publicity and short-term gain purposes.
No, so what I'm really taking from what you're saying is that you're experienced enough and, in your view, capable enough of self-policing yourselves.
I qualify that by saying we are.
Yeah.
Some circuses in Ireland are. Well, from an Irish perspective, and the Irish in particular, we're an island race. We share a very, very, very small Ireland on a global basis, yeah, with quite a lot of animals. And we're an agriculturally based economy, always have been, and frankly always will be, certainly for the foreseeable future, regardless of how the technology balance changes. But agriculture is a backbone of this country, and we have an affinity for animals, and in Irish in particular have an affinity for horses. Aaron and the animal rights lobbyists will say that it's the performance, animals being forced, inverted commas, to do something that they don't want to do, or that they're not naturally inclined to do.
Yeah.
And yes, you can see their point. And in 80 knots flat, when people started bringing, animals, first of all, when circus started, were not, horses were always a part. Circus began initially, people standing on the back of a horse and not falling off. And that was, people applauded and went on from that. Animals, exotic animals, weren't introduced into circus. The circus went to Russia, to St. Petersburg, Catherine the Great's court, and they introduced animals from her menagerie into circus and then went to the States. The presentation of animals, even into the middle of the last century in America and Eastern Europe, where animals would not interact with the presenter, there was no interaction between the animal and the person presenting it, and all it was applaud me,
yeah,
for walking a polar bear around the ring, or please, yeah, applaud me for walking a giraffe. That's not circus. That's exhibitionism, and we would, raise an eyebrow even now at that and say, that's distasteful to a degree.
Well, however, I suppose many years ago, in defence of those people, I mean, television, YouTube, internet wasn't there. So if people wanted to see a lion or a tiger,
But that is my point, is that if again, it's something that when you discuss this or attempt to discuss this mm-hmm. with the animal rights lobbyists, they bring it back to the present day and try to anchor their position, which I understand. We're looking back at, and it's a revisionist view back at what was happening. In Ireland, if you throw a dart, Ballet de Hob for poor old Ballet, always gets this, Ballet de Hob or Skibbereen, right in Cork, in 1924, they would never have seen an elephant. As we travel around the country, by the way, we see there are little pubs, and they still exist, they're a vanishing breed, and on the wall there'll be a photograph of Teddy Fawcett or Teddy Fawcett's daddy or his granddaddy leading an elephant down the road in 19 knots, splat, 32, 21, 17. It is still talked about by people's grandchildren as the day the elephant came down in 1921.
But I remember, Charles, myself, and just to get off the subject, I remember, because I didn't want to lead you into it, sorry, and thank you very much for responding, but I remember myself 30 years ago being in Sri Lanka and going to the zoo in the capital, Colombo, and seeing goats and sheep and, cows or something. Because they were obviously the other side of the world. You had elephants and tigers running down the street, but in the zoo, they had what was to them something they didn't see every day, which would be to us normal farmyard animals.
Absolutely. And Aaron and some of their fellow travellers would have some valid points. One of the points being...
No, I just have to interject here that I will be giving Aaron a chance.
Absolutely. And pass my best wishes on to Mr. Carmody.
I will be interviewing him either before or after you on the show. Yeah.
No, absolutely. And as I said, this is a chance for debate. Just hopefully at some stage in the future we can have a more reasoned debate on it. But the educational value of simply exhibiting animals now effectively doesn't exist. Television and the internet, but particularly to say the Attenborough Streamer programs from the late 50s onwards.
Yeah.
Children, people, students, call it what you will, no longer need it. A lot of them will never see or touch an elephant or be there, but they will get as much, if not more, educational value from television or from the internet.
Do you think it's time the circuses, I think we all agreed, are a fantastic form of entertainment, but do you think it's time that you concentrated on the trapeze, the tightrope walking?
Short answer, no.
Why?
Because the implication when you say, and I understand where you're coming from on the sentence, but the implication when you say, do you think it's time that we concentrated on?
Yeah.
Then there's a very clear... Do you think it's time that you do not concentrate on?
No, I wasn't saying that, because you put a very valid point. You put your point across quite well. But what I'm saying is that, I mean, I would get more entertainment value now from seeing somebody on a tightrope actually being there when they do something without seeing something which is computerized.
I hear what you're saying. And a lot of people do. You're quite right. And particularly in the urban areas in Ireland, a lot of people, more and more people do. However, there is still a market out there that want to see, for instance, as we're looking for later on this year, and certain horses being presented, a troop of horses being presented, where they perform a series of pre-choreographed movements in conjunction with a presenter, where the relationship, the act is basically a celebration of the relationship between the person presenting the act and that animal or those animals. Mm. And what we mean by that is dogs, ordinary domestic cats, horses, ponies, animals that we believe, and this is where we would differ again, that they can be toured with their presenters in a humane way, and that we believe they enjoy presenting, they enjoy working.
I have a German Shepherd myself who's exceptionally well trained. I mean, literally, you know, I have two dogs, and the German Shepherd would buy and sell the other one, but he enjoys doing things.
Well, see, that's what we would say as well. And the other lobby will say no, they can't, and they don't have a choice. And you know, you're into a cyclical debate, and you're into a kind of a spiral. But that's why we would say a categorical no, should we concentrate on. Should the bias change, we can only speak for ourselves. We have not toured exotic animals in 7 years.
Yeah.
You know, for the last number of years, we toured them animals at all. We had Pony Act last year, literally one pony and one dog.
Yeah.
Last year, and it was the first animal in 6 years. So, but to make a categorical statement, should we? No, and sorry, the reason I was about to tell was circus is not theatre. Circus is not opera, circus is not dance, circus is not pure variety or music hall. Circus is a distinct art form, and it's identified by a number of criteria, and in our opinion, they are. It should be performed in a tent, it should be performed in a circus ring, and it should be itinerant, it should move from town to town. And it should reserve the right to present animals, because if it doesn't, it's a variety show. Circus began as in 1767 in London as the presentation of horses in a ring.
Fair enough. Listen, Charles, I'm watching the clock here, and as I said, we are going to get a comment from a spokesperson from Aaron. Charles O'Brien of Fosse Circus, thank you very much.